All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles. Going into Galatians, the third chapter tonight. And God willing, tonight, we're turning our attention, it's always praise the Lord to His Word, but in His Word, our attention to Abraham. And it's amazing how many varying thoughts come to mind about justification or righteousness in the Old Testament. And I mean how it comes, or in how it came. The flesh, when we lean that way, can be so easily confused that somehow, some way, there was a different method of salvation from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That kind of thinking pervades. I don't know if you've visited with many a Christian. Somehow, some way, again, the enemy tries to get things distorted in there. That somehow it was not the blood of the Lamb, but we know it is. But our very first verse tonight that we're going to read puts that question immediately to rest, and that's the sixth verse of the third chapter. It says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Now that's pretty simple. He believed God. And thank you, Jesus, in believing God, that same precious believing is accounted to us. It was imputed to him and to us for righteousness. It tells us the same thing in Genesis 15, 6. The simplicity of the gospel, brothers and sisters, has never changed. We are saved by faith. And then as we go on to verses 7 through 9, we're going to get more confirmation that righteousness by faith is in us just as it was in Abraham. So it goes on to say in the seventh verse, "Know ye," see, this isn't something that we wonder about or think about, you know it. "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing," I love that, "the scripture foreseeing, that God would justify the heathen," that's you and me, "through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham." Listen to that. He preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So see, we say by, again, grace, this saved by grace through faith, Father, or that Father Abraham, and that the children of Abraham. It's a sweet thing to my heart. But notice here, and we did read it in the seventh verse, it's the scripture. Isn't that wonderful? It's always in the scripture. It's always in the Word of God. And this is so mighty because it tells us that the scripture, Jesus Christ, obviously we know the living Word, saw us. See, the scripture foreseen. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's how alive this Word is. This isn't just a book. This isn't just a reading. I heard a man today calling it a biography. This is no biography. I was just horrified. This man's a child of the King. This is no biography. This is the Word of God. It's alive and it's living. And yes, it was written through men, but it wasn't written by man. It was written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Know this. It's vitally important. See, just those little things will cause us to go in ways that are in our minds or in our flesh that we think somehow we need to go into our own reasoning and how we're going to get people to relate to the Word of God. Timothy, preach the Word. And preach it what it is. It's the Word of God. Praise you, Jesus. But it says that the Word saw us, that we would all be justified by faith. Again, it saw us in Christ. Always rejoice in that. Always rejoice in that. Before he set a star in heaven, he saw us in Christ. Remember that glorious study that we recently had in Ephesians? Just that word that comes out, us in Christ and Christ in us. It's so absolutely wonderful. But it's just as the example of Abraham. And the same faith that blessed Abraham, brothers and sisters, blesses us. Believe God. Hallelujah. What a concept. Believe God. He said it. It's His word. It's true. His promises are yea and amen. It's impossible for God to lie. Let's believe the word of God. It's the only thing, praise the Lord, that will ever be. Now, the scriptures if we wrestle with them and decide not to want to settle down in it, you go over to 2 Peter 3:16, and here's the result when we wrestle with the Scriptures, when we have a hard time or are slow to believe things, as also in all his epistles it says. This is speaking of Paul. Speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood. This is Peter speaking of Paul. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. See, one step towards unbelief, brothers and sisters, leads to more unbelief. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it does. Brothers and sisters, we start going the way of self-righteousness. Let me tell you something. It'll be all-consuming before long. We want to be bitter against one. Let me tell you something. That bitterness will just multiply. And it will. Glory begats glory. Believing God, hallelujah, will begat more believing. Isn't it wonderful when you stand on the promises of God? Again, it's all by grace. As you go into the Word of God and say, Lord, I believe that. I mean, it's like a kid in the candy store. I love that Brother Herbie, as he said, well, I need that. God said that? Well, I need that too. And God said that, and I need that too. That is as simple as it is. And it will never be any more simple. And that's the faith as a child. That's the child of God that will grow up into him in all things and become a mighty son of God. That's my Father. He's for me, and he's for me who could be against me. I know he will withhold nothing good from me. I know he will perfect that which concerns me. I know that my steps are ordered. I know that these are the before ordained good works that I should walk therein. How marvelous. My faithful Father. Praise God. And that's what it is. Now, if we believe the Word of God and hold these scriptures by God's grace, dear, embrace what's been embracing us, this wonderful grace of God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul encouraging, commending sweet Timothy in the 15th verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. See, it's wise unto salvation through faith, through believing, not reciting it over and over, believing the Word of God. God said it, and it's so. Not because I went off somewhere in some place in this, and I got holed up for a long time, and I got maybe ordained or commended by men. I want to be called by Jesus Christ. How about you? Huh? Anointed and appointed by the Holy Spirit. Praise his name. This is what it is. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means fully grown, mature, thoroughly finished, completed unto all good works. And what did it? Scripture. Scripture, the Word of God, and believing the Word of God. It's all powerful, but it's not going to do you any good until you believe it. That's right. Amen. Them's words on a page, but in believing, praise God. Hallelujah. What power, what Pentecostal power, Holy Ghost shedding that love of God abroad. Lord, I believe you. I'm thoroughly convinced that you're for me. You're madly in love with me. You adore me. Hallelujah. This is your desire that you've put in my heart. I know that you are faithful and true. I know that you will perform and perfect that good work that you have begun in me. Hallelujah. See, that's the confidence and the rest that we can have absolutely assured in our Lord. Now, giving the more earnest heed, what do you think? Huh? Help us not neglect so great salvation, dear Lord. Help us to want to come to church. It is our privilege to hear the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. He wants this wonderful life that he's imputed, given to us. It's in. Hallelujah. To grow up, to be powerful. And that power, praise the Lord, comes by believing him. Believing him. Now, Let's turn over to Romans chapter 4, and let's do a little bit of reading about Abraham. And we'll begin reading in the first verse, chapter 4 of Romans. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. See, if you want to go glorying in your own works, you're certainly not going to do it before God. David was not dancing before the Lord because of something he did. David was dancing before the Lord because all what the Lord did. Isn't that wonderful? He was delirious because of the grace of God. That's why that brother, it was so sweet, speaking with a brother in the office this afternoon. The humility. David, by God's grace, humbled himself before the Lord. Hallelujah. God help us. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Man, how simple it is. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Everybody wants to get out of debt, I hear these days, don't they? You going to let him do it? Amen. Praise the Lord. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted, accredited, hallelujah, imputed to the account of for righteousness. Believing God. I mean, it is so beautiful, isn't it, to go through these scriptures? Aren't you thankful? I know we know these things. But praise the Lord to dance with them over and over and rejoice and praise the Lord and embrace it. And God, it just felt like my heart stretched a little bit more. Hallelujah. That wineskin's growing. Praise his name. Jump down to the 9th verse. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? See, now we get back to talking about were these just the ones that were circumcised? Or upon the uncircumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised. He believed God, and it was counted unto him righteousness, way before he was circumcised. God was dealing with him. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit about what state he was in when God was dealing with him. It's so marvelous. And it goes on to say that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. I think it's so funny that the Jew and the Muslim, they're all battling. Oh, Abraham's my father. Abraham's my father. Abraham's my father. Let's all get over it. Isn't that wonderful? Now, is he really their father spiritually? Not until they believe God. And how do you believe God? The scriptures. That's believing God. The scriptures. And here's a scripture for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, neither the religion of the Jew or the religion of the Muslim have come to that. So no, spiritually speaking, according to Scripture, that is not their father yet. So I'm still hopeful that some will come out. Okay? That religion will always be that religion. But let me tell you something. He still died for the sin of all men. And we're still, praise the Lord, in such a precious age of grace. So may we pray. All right. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, back here in the 12th verse, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Isn't that something? He had faith, and yet he was uncircumcised. Can you imagine? Praise the Lord. Well, God help us to know that not just you, but everybody is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. All right? For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. You see, works, the law, can have nothing to do with faith and grace. They're completely opposite. They cannot mix. It's one or the other. Okay. 15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. I like that place. And praise the Lord. I'm born there. Hallelujah. Born again. Therefore, if it is of faith, that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Isn't that wonderful? Promise might be sure to the end, to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What a wonderful verse. God help you. See, you can only do that when you look into the scripture. Listen to that again. Calling those things which be not as though they were. We don't look at things with these eyes. Praise the Lord. Faith, praise God, is seeing the things in scripture. Not what they appear to be, but what they are. What they are. And that's by the word of God. Again, the scriptures. Who against hope believed in hope. Are you there? That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. Isn't that wonderful? See, we want to be strong in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. This is when he gets to be an old man here. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. They were both old. She had a womb that, naturally speaking, was not going to produce anything. It wasn't fruitful anymore in the eyes of man. But see, Abraham called those things which were not as though they were. Sarah was still laughing a little bit, but Abraham, praise the Lord, was believing God. Aren't you thankful for a godly spouse? It's wonderful. You get one if you don't have one. If you're looking for one, you better ask the Lord. Be in trouble. All right. I'm not meddling. I'm just preaching the word. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, shall thy seed be. Now back in 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. I love that. Underline that scripture. I'm telling you, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. See, he didn't look at that. He didn't look at flesh. Don't look at your flesh. Look at the promises of God. Hallelujah. I'm new, I'm brand new, praise his name, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, strong in faith, there's a lot of people that think they're strong in faith, and then they start feeling haughty about it, puffed up. See, real faith and strong in faith gives glory one place, and that's to God, because it's grace. See, when you have strong faith, it's grace. I thank God for my faith. I thank God because it's not my faith, it's his faith. It is. It's the faith that's been given to me by grace. Oh my. And being fully persuaded. See, and you'll get, you'll not get, but you'll realize, your eyes will become enlightened, illuminated to how beautifully kept you are. And it's him that keeps you. And being fully persuaded, 21, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed, it was counted, it was put on his account to him for righteousness. Look at how far he got in so fast, because he believed God. He didn't mess around. He took those things speedily. He said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Now listen, see, here we are. This is us. But for us also. Isn't that precious? For us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. My goodness, I tell you, it's just beyond. But now, getting back to that thought of Abraham, let's think of him for a moment. This brother, this wonderful Abraham, called by God, chosen by God, given such incredible promises. Do you realize when he was being called, He was right in the middle of worshiping idols. Know this, brothers and sisters, and all of his ancestors had done. He didn't have a very good pedigree. This is awesome stuff. This was no man of God that was called here. He wasn't a man of God. No, he wasn't. This was a sinner, just like you and just like me. Great grace was going to be displayed right off the bat by taking an unworthy man and blessing him far beyond his wildest dreams. He had even no concept of what God had for him, did he? I'm just going to go, and then God had to discuss with him. I'm going to do this. Could you imagine him just sitting there? You're going to do what? Okay, I will go. And that's how simple it was. He just believed God. He picked up and he went with God. And I've seen people do that by God's grace, even in this meeting. It's wonderful. See, God saw a heart that would believe him. And note this. I really want you to note this. It was so far removed from any justification by the law. This was so far removed of any righteousness by works or by the law for this covenant that he was making here with Abraham. Abraham's righteous, brothers and sisters, was given to Abraham 430 years before the law was ever given to Moses on the mount. Amen. There's a reason for this. And it's to show us again, it had nothing to do with the law. Just like our righteousness, which is the same righteousness, because there's only one righteousness, and that's the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. The blood of the Lamb never, ever because of the law. Hallelujah. Praise his name. His righteousness and his friendship with God. And he was a friend of God all by faith. He believed what God told him. And then he responded to what God's word was encouraging him to do. See, that's something else. Isn't that wonderful? You talk about being moved in the scriptures and letting the word of God move in us. And praise the Lord, I believe it sounds a little familiar to us. Here's his word, brothers and sisters, and here's his will. And if we will listen, and if we will respond to it, and if we will believe him, my goodness, the exceeding and great and precious promises, a better thing for us. Amazing. Amazing. And praise God how he's called us into this precious journey, just like with Abraham. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I believe we've got a bunch in this place tonight that we believe that he is. Hallelujah. It's joy to believe that he is. I am. Oh, hallelujah. I know that that means something. I know that that means everything. And in that love for me, in that God, you've done everything for me. I do want to diligently seek you. I realize how much you love me. I want to know you. See, that love causes us to respond. That's why you're here tonight. I do believe it. You have really allowed the love of God to quicken you. You've allowed that love to penetrate your life. You're responding to it. And you understand that this is the greatest thing, the most incredible thing that we could give back. This is the praise and the honor and glory to God the Father. We're rejoicing in his Son tonight. We're rejoicing about the Word of God. Allowing it to grow us up the more, to get us more encouraged, to ready us to be the readied wife. This is incredible. This is pleasing to God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You could do anything imaginable, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And remember this too. You could have faith to move mountains, but without love, it profits nothing. So we see truly that true faith is the faith that worketh by love. Amen? You see? See, we don't just believe this because we're ordered to believe it or commanded to believe it. We believe him because he's our lover. When someone really loves you, and the kind of the pinnacle of it all, naturally speaking, is a spouse. Should be the one. Should be. Often it isn't. But it should be the one that is our confidant. The one that, naturally speaking, that we would share more with than anyone. Amen? I could be stepping on some toes here tonight, but I'm telling you what God would truly have. And you know what? It's never too late. It isn't. We're drawing breath. Praise His name. It's never too late to love. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I believe because of this, brothers and sisters, we delight in the sonship. We delight and are thankful that now are we the sons of God. We delight, we come in here, and we're not ashamed to say we're favored of the King. Matter of fact, highly favored, desired, doted upon. My goodness, the attention, the love, that we come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't go in there sheepishly, and praise God that we may take even the much the more. Abraham was offered a great, wondrous covenant, a wondrous blessing. But praise the Lord, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. A better thing. Praise His name. Oh, I'm grateful to God where and what we have been able to come into. Now, just like Abraham, God said, pick up your family and let's go. Huh? That's who you take. Let's just go. And Abraham did not delay. He got them together, praise God, and he went out. And you know what? He didn't know where he was going. He only knew that God had called him, and he called him into a land that he knew nothing about. But he knew God said, son, I gave you this. I gave this to you. It's done. Remember, His promises are yea and amen. He didn't say, well, I'm going to work on it. You know, give me some time to get this organized and situated. And no, this was His. He promised it to him. And isn't it something that, you know, they're still negotiating pieces and parts of that land today? Well, someday, praise the Lord, in spite of all that unbelief, God's promises are yea and amen. And let me tell you something. They're going to get every square inch of what God has promised them. And it's coming. Doesn't the hair just stand up in the back of your head and all that? I just love it. I love, praise the Lord, the love of God. I love to see how He moves in His people. I love to see, I'm sorry to say it. I know that if they don't believe in the Lord, they're going to a Christless eternity. But I love to see that blasphemed sinner can't help but do what God had told him exactly what he would do. I stand in awe of the glory of God. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go ahead and read verses 10 through 12 in Galatians 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. There you go. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Most of God's precious people, I don't know if have ever read that verse. And many of them that have read that verse do not believe that verse. Let's read it again. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. You want to get as far away from that as you can. Now, thanks be to God, the blood of the Lamb has set you completely apart from it. A whole different, well, we don't even have words to describe it, how far away it is from it. But it's beyond what even we think is far away, how far He set us away from that. So why remotely even get around that kind of thinking? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now His word is mighty, brothers and sisters, and He delivered us. He delivered me. I can speak of my own testimony. Praise God, same one you have. He delivered me from the curse of the law. Praise His name. Completely, I'm free indeed. And I would have to have my head examined to desire anything of the yoke of that bondage. You really would. I mean, my goodness, you see, that's just the enemy contorting, confusing, trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He knows he can't keep a child of God out of heaven, but he sure is going to fight He's going to fight to try to rob you of the best of what God has. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to read the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. But we need to believe the Word of God. Not just recite it, but it is our life. It's who we are. And it says, cursed is anyone under the works of the law. That word cursed means abominable. It means wretched. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know that a child of God is none of that in Christ. But I will tell you something. Those are some filthy garments that we can be carrying around. Those are some filthy rags, brothers and sisters, that we need to put off. It says in the Word of God, put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man. See, this isn't just hanging out in the pig pen. Let's get it straight. This is going right into the pile of manure. And you stink. You stink. There's not a glow. There's only a glow in the grace and glory of God. Self-righteousness causes people to become bitter and hateful and hard and unloving. And I'm talking about Christians. And God help us when we become stiff. Help us to become pliable. Always love to think about the clay and the water and how that's worked on that wheel. And praise the Lord, it always needs that water. We need the Word of God. We need the love of the Lord. Praise His name. We need the Holy Spirit. And God help us to stir up the gift to not be complacent. For the sinner, you think about this now. That goes this way. You better keep all the law. You better keep all of it. You got to remember you're hanging on 10 links over a chasm. And may I remind you how many of them links have to break? Just one. And you're plunging all the way down. Now, James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. But then, notice verse 11, and let's read this. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. I love how he goes on to say it. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And if there was ever the theme of this sweet Galatians and the theme of the Word of God, hallelujah, the just shall live by faith. Faith in the Lamb of God. Now, how wonderful. I look at this verse and you think how true and yet how sweetly clever this is. First off, in these scriptures, it's made so evident, brothers and sisters, that only by the shedding of blood is there remission of sins. There has to be the shedding of blood. And thanks be to God, it was there all along. They looked to the blood of the Lamb. But this is even saying that even if you could keep all of the law that is in Deuteronomy 27 and other places back there in that Old Testament, thou shalt not, thou shalt, you know, whatever it may be, okay? John 3:5 tells us this. It's still no good. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Listen to that. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See, God only accepts the life of His Son. God cannot look on any other life but the life of His Son. He is only pleased with the life of His Son. That's why it is impossible to please God without faith. Because faith is in one thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We just went right back to the Scriptures. Hallelujah. The Word of life. And thanks be to God that we know this. And thank you, Jesus, that we know that without new birth, without the new birth, it's a Christless eternity. As it says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That is so simple. He is no respecter of person. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Don't tell me there's not a hell. Don't. There is a hell. And God forbid that any man would go that way, because God is not a respecter of person. And God says in his word so sweetly, so many times over, first of all, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Come on. That's just so loving. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. The complete, intimate, what a desire. Oh, praise you, Jesus. But we know through the word of God that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That actually, to my heart, because of knowing grace, puts me at such ease. There's such a rest in knowing that I sinned and came short of the glory of God. There is such a thanks to the Lord that I realize that I need Jesus. Praise his name. Not needed. You notice it's current and present and future. I need Jesus. That there is none righteous, no, not one. And I'm thankful to God because that doesn't allow any of us to be puffed up. Because I believe it's the same Christ in you that's the Christ in me. I know it is. Because the word of God tells us that it is us in Christ and Christ in us. See how beautiful that is? It's just so wondrous. And that's why we can love. And that's why we can care. And that's why by God's grace, we don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves. We don't do that. We don't need to do that. God help us to do that. We just want Christ to grow up in each one of us to its absolute fullest potential, because that's the divine will of God. That's his ultimate purpose, that we would be the bride that would be ready to marry his son. Now, all of us, what we are, it's all by the grace of God. And neither us nor our fathers are able to bear the yoke of the law. That's Acts 15:10. Don't try to do it. You can't do it. I'm kind of a Clint Eastwood fan. A man's got to know his limitations. And that's a limitation. It's a big one. You can't do it. And thanks be to God that he can. Verse 21, I just kind of jump ahead a little bit there. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. See, God wouldn't have given his son. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have wasted that. No way. He gave his son for one reason, and that was because he's the only way. It had to be the Lamb. Hallelujah. You see, and we'll get into this a little bit more next week, but I'm just really excited about this, that the law was not given to us for a moral compass. Did you know that? A lot of people say, what? You mean the Ten Commandments weren't there to just help me to live right? I thought that's what it was all about. I thought that's the reason they put it on the buildings and they did all these things, is because that law, it was to give me a compass. I wouldn't have known what was what, that to teach me how to live right, to help me to live more righteously. And matter of fact, the law was given for the complete opposite reason. Romans 5:20 tells us very clearly, the law entered that the offense might abound. I love it. You talk about movies. It just always reminded me that, you know how I love airplanes, and that Top Gun, I always kind of like that last dog fight when Maverick was out there. He had one engine shot out, and here he is trying to run away from the MiG, and the guy that was in his navigator seat behind him says, okay, let's floor it and get out of here. And he says, well, what you doing? He says, I'm slowing down. I'm going to bring him in. You're going to do what? I always remember that. And this is the same thing, kind of, Lord, what did I just read? You brought the law entered because you wanted the offense to abound? See, the law was given, brothers and sisters, to make sin more apparent. Oh, I'm telling you, listen to this. So there would be no doubt a definite knowledge of sin and what it is. So again, that we would be without excuse. So that we would absolutely know that there is a need of grace that would be manifest and fully known in us. Praise Jesus. Oh, wretched man that I am. Thanks be to God for the law, you see. Now we're getting somewhere in this. He loves to be loved. He loves to be praised. And praise to the Father and to the Son. It was all established to give all glory and honor and thanks and praise to nothing but his Son and his finished work on the cross. It's all by him, do him, for him. It's all about him. Do you love him? You know, some people don't like that. You mean he's like that? Yep, he's God. You mean he's jealous over me like that? He just wants me for himself? You don't like that? Oh, thank God, amen. I'm glad I've got a God like that, that's not just far off on a yonder and I'm just a speck of this floating around here. Oh my goodness, I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the very inheritance of the living God. I'm it. And I love it. And I'm thankful to that. And that again is not because Jesse, it's because Christ in Jesse. It's because of the Son of God in me. Oh, I'm thankful to know that. I'm thankful that his grace brought that and has struck my heart so much the more as his day is swiftly approaching, becoming more and more like him. Oh, because it's his righteousness. Now, 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. See, honeys, don't let the enemy lie to you. You're not under this curse. You're not. Don't let sin reign. It's been finished. Hallelujah. It's been dealt with. We're not under the law. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's so good. It's so good. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, Christ was made the wretched. Christ was made the abominable. Christ was made the worm, the sin for us. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He was completely deserted. And all why? Because of the joy. I'm looking at the joy of the Lord right here. Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured it. Oh, what great love wherewith we are loved. And in type, brothers and sisters, see, this is what this is getting at. Because some people say, well, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, that means if I die, I'm not going to be nailed to a cross. See, no, this is a type. See, whenever we are trying to gain righteousness by our works, it's the same as if we were trying to get up on that cross and do something. Do you see what an abomination that is to God? Do you see that's why that's the most filthy thing that there could ever be? That you think that you could add something to him giving you his only begotten Son, when we were dead in trespasses and sin, when we went out there, our sin, it wasn't just the Jew, it wasn't just the Roman soldier, it was our sin. Come on. It wasn't just delegated to a group of people, it was all men. All the sin of man put him on that cross. All the sin of man tore his beard and beat him and pierced him. Yes, yes, yes. Christ hath redeemed us. Now you see, get away from that stinky stuff. I know you love Jesus. I do. You wouldn't be here at a Bible study. You wouldn't. I don't believe it. By God's grace, you don't want to hurt him. You don't want to hurt the Father. Get away from filthy works. There's no greater hurt. There just isn't. There isn't. God help us. All right. Now, you think about this. Christ on that sweet cross, he was alone, completely alone. He was strengthened only by the love of God. And it was a force, brothers and sisters, that could not be denied, the love of God. There was no power that was going to stop him from dying on that cross. And there was no power that was going to keep him in the grave. He was going to rise again. And he did. And he rose. And he went on high. Okay, now, we got a finished work here. Hallelujah. So Romans 4:10 tells us, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Take heed. Take heed. See, that's yours. As a child of God, that's yours. Whether or not you're living it, it's still yours. But how about embrace it and now grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him? See, we're growing tonight. Now we'll quickly close with 14 through 18. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now isn't this interesting too? It's so precious. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And who's talking here? We understand it's the Word of God, but this is Paul. The Gentiles and we. Because see, he's showing here there's neither Jew nor Greek. We're one in Christ. This is all being established here, brothers and sisters. This is absolutely wonderful. And this, again, is that dealing to the Gentile that he is now offering and wanting should be fellow heirs, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. You taking that step of faith with me tonight? Do you see him coming at it? Oh, hallelujah. This is exciting what the Lord's bringing out. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. It's confirmed. See, there's nothing you can take away. There's nothing you're going to add. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. It's all in him, one. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God, and where? In Christ. See, that covenant was of God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should not make the promise of none effect. See, the law couldn't come back and make it of none effect. Grace was first. Grace is always ahead of the law. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now this is so wonderfully simple, isn't it? Praise the Lord, the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. The promises of God, again, as we say, are yea and amen. It's impossible for God to lie. His promises are tried and true. And his promise to Abraham and to us is grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's always been grace. It always will be grace. And in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace. It didn't change. Grace can never be displaced by the law. Grace was first. 430 years before the law was given. And even though sin abounded through the law, grace did much more abound. See, God knew what he was doing. It wasn't like, uh-oh, what did I do? No, watch this. Now watch grace. My goodness, what grace can do. Nothing can defeat it. Hallelujah. And he wants this confidence, brothers and sisters, in us, in Christ, in him alone. And what a perfect and precious plan this is. That even though we look at this world right now, and sometimes you even look at Christianity and you think, oh my goodness, Lord, it's completely out of control. But as I was rejoicing with my brother today, it's all perfectly orchestrated in Christ. There's not one jot or tittle out of control. It's orchestrated in absolute perfection. The evil of sin, the evil of man, it's waxing worse and worse. But the masterpiece work of grace is accelerating and being completed at an increasing rate just as well. It's a simultaneous event, brothers and sisters. And praise the Lord, we can look into the scriptures and it must be this way. Because it's the Word of God. It is the will of the Father. And may we grow in grace. And grow on in grace. And go on in grace. And we too then someday will be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Praise you, Jesus.